Have I lost money and key?
Well, they had to go because he has school tomorrow morning. He has to get up at 3
okay.
o'clock.
I lost money and key.
Well, they have, he has to get up at 3 in the morning.
Okay,
so
yeah, he does have to get up early in the morning. All right.
I have something else to say. I know what I was going to say.
Okay.
Now, you know, could this not just be, just help me out now. The Lord says lights will be diminished, okay? And it goes on to say that it shall be one day which is known to the Lord,
right,
which is only known to the Lord, of course, neither day nor night.
That's right.
So maybe it's literally talking about, instead of us all being yanked up right then, maybe it's talking about, hey, you know how when it went dark, when Jesus died and the veil was ripped, and that just fascinates me. But I'm just saying, could this not be a literal thing that's going to take place in those days, when that day comes?
It could be. Now I'm talking, remember now, then it could be that also.
Okay.
Could lead by half open.
That's
does it
right.
have to be just one thing?
We don't have to eliminate both possibilities.
Okay.
It can
be
that too.
Huh? It can be a combination of both.
It can be a combination of those. Absolutely. That's the genius of the Hebrew language. You can get it all in there. You can get it all in there. You can't get that much in English.
No.
But you can in Hebrew. You can get it in there. You can get it all in there in Hebrew.
What do you mean? You can get it all in there.
All
you
of those meanings.
Into it.
All of those.
This,
you can pour all of that meaning into the same sentence.
Oh, okay.
You can do that.
Their words mean more than one thing.
That's right.
It's an inflection of their
words. That is absolutely right. All you got to do.
A lot of those.
The word is alive. Hey, it just.
Like I said, when the Hebrews made up the word Ruth, the name Ruth, they deliberately left out a necessary letter, so that you can supply that letter that you want in there.
Doesn't do any harm or damage.
It doesn't do any harm.
There's no damage.
Because what you have is, you have, if you supply one letter, it means a woman friend, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. You say it the same way. It sounds the same. If you supply another silent letter, it means a woman of great beauty. So
it doesn't make any difference in that situation.
When I see the word Ruth, I think beautiful friend.
Right.
Because that's what it means. It means both things. Now, if they put in one of those silent letters, then I have to let one of them go.
You're talking about the original?
The original Hebrew.
Okay.
That's correct. That's the original Hebrew.
Okay.
So they do that on purpose. And it's not just that, it's just an example of how they can do that to make, you know, to bring in all of these flavors.
Beautiful.
And meanings in, they can pour more meaning into one sentence than we can even, you know, begin to do in English. They can do it. And it's marvelous.
It is marvelous. Thank you.
All right.
That's like one thing, like say love, the word love.
Yeah.
You know, there's agape love. There's philo love, eros, but they all mean love.
There's an example. There's an example of how in Greek, when you use that word, you exclude all of the other possibilities.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Hebrew, there's only one word for love. So it means all of the above. It can mean all of the above or any of them. You don't exclude any.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use Greek, then you have to exclude one. Then you know that you're talking about just one kind of love and not the others. But in Hebrew, no. It's more broad. It's broader than that. It gives us the broadest possible, you know,
definitely,
spectrum. Okay. We've got to move on here. Daniel 12. We're still talking about the rapture being in the Old Testament.
Wow.
Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book We know we're talking about the end times. We're talking about the great tribulation, right? Mm-hmm. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. What are we talking about? We're talking about the rapture.
Glory.
We're talking about the resurrection, which won't happen without the rapture.
Hallelujah.
You can't have a resurrection without the rapture, because the dead can't come out of the grave by themselves. They've got to be jerked out with great force and great power, and God is going to do that. That's a rapture by definition.
That's awesome.
By definition, that's the rapture.
That is just awesome. Yeah.
Glory to God. All right. Since the resurrection is clearly in the Old Testament, how say some the rapture is not in the Old Testament? There is no resurrection without the rapture. Consequently, the rapture is on the clock because it's an end time event. Mm-hmm. So the rapture's got to be on the clock.
All right. Glory.
All right.
All right.
But it seems to me that it can't, that it has to be at the beginning. Because if it's anywhere else, everybody can see it coming a mile away. Anybody that knows anything about the scriptures can see it coming a mile away. Because there's so many signs posts out there, you're tripping over. All right.
Hallelujah.
Is there really no set time? No set time? Now, we're just getting started. Jesus said a couple of things in his Olivet Discourse that are virtually inexplicable and pretty much incompatible with the idea of a set time rapture. The first one we look at is Mark 13:32. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father.
Yeah.
Now one asked a question. How in the world Jesus could not know when the rapture is to occur? If there is, in fact, a cosmic calendar up there in heaven with a date on it, circled in red, that says rapture, how could Jesus not know? If there is a set date, a date certain set for the rapture, how could he not know it? How is that even possible? All right. Well, you know, we might could conjure up some kind of way, maybe, but, you know, dealing with the Trinity and all that. But it gets better. Once the prophetic clock begins to run, there are so many signposts and markers to show people where they are that people will be stumbling, falling over them. How would Jesus himself not know? But an even more curious statement. I love this one. This is one of my favorite verses in all of Holy Writ. One of my favorite, all time, my favorite scripture is Matthew 24 and 20 and Mark 13 and 18. But we got to, let's do Matthew 24, 15 through 21 so we can set the stage. Brother David, he's looking at me strange.
I'm listening.
All right. All right. All right. I'm on a roll here. I can't stop. But okay, now Matthew 24, verses 15 through 21. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. This is an end-time prophecy of definite application. There's only one time this is going to be fulfilled. This is not a sign of the time or anything like that. This is a definite, this is a one-time deal.
Okay.
When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then let him which is in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him that's on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Here it comes. Here it comes. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Wait for it. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Now, this is the thing. Is Jesus in a habit of telling us to pray for things that we can't do anything about?
Yeah.
Does Jesus tell us to pray for things that are absolutely set in stone and are not going to change no matter what? No. Prayer changes things. And Jesus does not tell us to pray for something that cannot change. Jesus is saying here is an event that can change, depending on when the clock begins to run. When is the clock triggered? If the rapture occurs in the spring, then whenever this is connected. It's tied together. Once the rapture occurs, then the clock begins to run, and there is then a set time for this abomination of desolation to happen. So, if there was a set time for the rapture, Jesus could not tell us to pray that our flight is not in winter, because it wouldn't do any good to pray, because the time is set. Mm-hmm. You understand? The time is set, but the time is not set. That's why Jesus said, pray that your flight not be in winter. You see, Jesus is the king of the one-liner. I'm telling you, Jesus can say more in one line. Mm-hmm. If we didn't have this scripture right here, we might somehow or other believe that the rapture was on a set time and a time scale, and that there was a date up there in heaven with circle on it, you know, and nothing could change. We couldn't do anything about it. Nothing could change that. No. Jesus said, pray that your flight not be in winter. That means that there is no set time for that clock to begin to run. Because once it begins to run, then everything is set. But if it starts in the winter, then this is going to happen at a certain time. If it starts in the spring, then it's going to happen at a certain time. Do you understand how that worked?
Yeah.
The only way that it would do any good at all for you to pray that your flight not be in winter.
What's so bad about winter and Sabbath?
If you're trying to run away.
If you're trying to flee with your children in the wintertime.
In Jerusalem.
On the Sabbath, you couldn't go very far.
And it's possible. That's right. There's no transportation on the Sabbath. You'd have to go. That's right. That's right. We do know. And yeah. You could only go, you know.
So far.
That's right. And there wouldn't be any transportation. You'd have to go on foot and so on and so forth. But in the wintertime, for sure, you would not want to flee. You would not want to go in the snow.
Especially with your baby.
Especially with a baby. And it says, don't you don't have time to go back into the house
and get anything.
To get your coat.
It's easier to live off the land.
You don't have time to go back in the house to get your boots on.
Yeah.
You've got to flee with the clothes on your back.
It says run. That's right.
Flee.
Wait.
Okay.
If you're talking about the end time and the rapture, now to me, why would you? I mean, he's going to jerk you up anyway.
These people are not going to go.
These are
the guys left behind.
Okay. These are people in Jerusalem.
Okay.
Well, the Antichrist is coming.
Yeah, these are the guys that didn't go.
Also, this chapter, Jesus is he's kind of talking about the structure of Jerusalem in AD 70, and but also talking about end times. So it's so confusing. It's kind of to me, he's kind of foretelling.
Jerusalem was not completely destroyed.
Well, I know, but it was destroyed. It's, you know,
the temple was just destroyed. That was not.
Well, whatever. He's telling about this. It's a catastrophe that's going to happen.
Everything, just about basically everything in Matthew 24 is an end time prophecy.
Right? I believe you.
And it's not.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I've always been taught that he is saying this is the destruction, and I'm reading here in my New King James that is talking about he is prophesying about the coming destruction of Jerusalem.
Well, that never happened.
Well, you're right.
You see, that never happened.
You missed our class on that.
You may have missed that.
I went to a Christian school.
Well, I mean, we had a class where we discussed
there
it.
Are
too, but I think
why,
came
there are two reasons yeah. why the 70 AD destruction was meaningless.
Okay.
As far as end time prophecies. First of all, it wasn't on the clock. It happened, the clock stopped on Pentecost 32 AD.
Okay.
And the temple, the city and the temple were destroyed in 70.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
35 years later, 37 years, 38 years
right.
later.
Okay.
So the clock had stopped, it was meaningless.
Okay.
Jerusalem has been destroyed several times since
right.
then. None of them had anything to do with it. It will be destroyed again in fulfillment of that prophecy.
Right.
That prophecy will be fulfilled at the proper time, and it hasn't yet.
It'll be a crater then.
That's